إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not sent you except as a rahmah, except as a mercy to all of creation. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to the creation, to all the creatures of the creation, to the worlds. If you look at this ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, we have sent you as a mercy to creation. Meaning would have been the same, except that the emphasis with which the ayat is actually mentioned, that emphasis would not have been there. Because if Allah had said, we have sent you as a mercy to creation, then it could be one of the many reasons why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. So as a mercy to creation and this and this and this. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of saying, we sent you as a mercy to creation, when Allah said, we have sent you as nothing except, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have sent you as nothing except a mercy. Meaning that the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the single most important reason for the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to all of creation, to all of the alameen. Now, from the seerah itself, this aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming as a mercy to all of creation and coming as nothing but mercy to all of creation, from the seerah it is very clear, and there are many incidents in the seerah. It is not the purpose of a Fajr reminder to go into the details of these things, but we all know these incidents. And these incidents also, if you look at them, and today we look at only one of them, which is the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Taif and the result of that journey. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Taif, he need not have gone personally, he could have sent somebody else, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was already a Muslim, for example, so he had significant people in Makkah who could have been delegated and sent, but he did not do that, he went himself. And then his reception in Taif and the way he was treated in Taif, the way he was injured, the way he was attacked, all of this, and at the end of that, what is his response to that entire incident where he was personally harmed, he was physically attacked, he was injured and wounded. Obviously, that attack was not only physical, the attack was psychological, the attack was on his izzah, the attack was on his honor, the attack was, it was not just a matter of seeing that somebody threw a stone. I mean, the very fact that people throw stones and they do that, this is a reflection, and it's an attack on more than the body. Despite all that, what was his reaction to all of this? His reaction was a reaction of mercy. His reaction was completely unreasonable, because if he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do justice, that would have been reasonable. If he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take revenge on his behalf, that would have been reasonable. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reaction was completely unreasonable, in that even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels and put them at his command, and he said, do order me and I will destroy this entire city, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has not sent me as a killer of people. Allah did not send me to kill people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to save people from the hellfire. And it is my hope that even if these people do not accept Islam, that even if these people do not accept guidance, there will be people from this city who will come after them, who will accept guidance. And we have ample evidence of this having happened. So therefore, the aspect of mercy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how does this relate to us today? Because as I keep saying over and over again, the purpose of the seerah is not storytelling. The purpose of the seerah is not simply to repeat incidents, historical incidents which happened. The purpose of the seerah is to link it to our lives and say, therefore, what is my duty? So the question to ask ourselves first and foremost is that, first of all, do I have a duty at all? Allah sent the Nabi as a mercy to mankind. So fine, alhamdulillah, good for that. But, how does it concern me? Why should I be bothered about this? I can speak about this, I can talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so on, but why should I be concerned about it? How does it affect me? So this can also be a reaction. How does it affect us? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to introduce himself in Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, introduce yourself. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah that say to them that this is my way. I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with clear evidence. We mentioned this ayah yesterday and day before yesterday. In the context, I am mentioning the same ayah in this context, which is that the way of inviting is the way of mercy. First of all, inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself is mercy, because somebody who does not know Allah, if that person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in his heart he feels sukoon. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That there is dhikr, there is itminan of the qalb in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no itminan, there is no peace of mind, there is no calmness of the heart in anything other than the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot buy peace of mind using money. You cannot buy peace of mind with material things. You cannot buy peace of mind by smoking drugs. You cannot buy peace of mind by alcohol. All that you do is intoxicate yourself and you forget your troubles for a while because of the intoxication. It does not give you peace of mind. Drugs do not give you peace of mind. Alcohol does not give us peace of mind. Material things do not give peace of mind. Only the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gives peace of mind. And how can somebody who does not know Allah ever have peace of mind? They can never have peace of mind. They think they have peace of mind. They do not have peace of mind. But how can they have? Only by knowing Allah. So therefore, the one who is inviting towards Allah, this invitation itself is mercy and is a reflection of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a reflection of rahmah. That the person who does not know Allah is being introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the way in which this introduction is done, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is replete, as I mentioned the incident of Taif itself. Even where he was attacked, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond and did not give like for like. Even though in Islam it is jais, it is permissible for somebody to retaliate. If someone attacks you, it is permissible to retaliate. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do that. He did not retaliate. He did not retaliate. He forgave them. He made dua for them in their favor. So the issue of mercy and the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy. So today if we look at our lives, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, how and where in my life is this mercy being reflected in terms of other people who are in the world? How am I reflecting and how am I showing mercy? Because if I am not showing mercy, then how can I say that I am on the same path as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, "Ana wa man ittaba'ani," this is my path and this is the path of those who follow me. If that is the path of those who follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can somebody who is not acting with mercy, how can this person claim to be following the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Today, just a simple question. If we think of Muslims today, and if we look at the global images of Muslims and Muslim behavior which we are seeing globally, is that an image of mercy or is it an image of something else? We have to seriously ask ourselves some uncomfortable questions, which is unfortunate, but that is a reality. If we look at, and I'm not for a moment whitewashing the troubles that Muslims are in. I agree, there are troubles and there are problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the Muslims from all the trials and tribulations. But I am saying Muslim behavior that we see in the world, Muslims killing each other, Muslims exploding bombs in masajid, Muslims exploding bombs in shopping malls. The thing that happened in Kenya, those people called the Shabab. They hold up people, they ask people questions, and if the person cannot answer a question, they shoot the man, they shoot the woman, they kill the people. And subhanAllah, some of those questions are such that today I doubt whether even Muslims can answer those questions. I mean, they're not a complicated question, but unfortunately our level of Islam and knowledge of Islam is such that if someone asks me or asks you to name the names of all the daughters, the children of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many of us can actually name the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in a state of that stress when someone is holding a gun to your head, how many of us can do that? And then the man kills us because we cannot name the children of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is Islam? This behavior of these people in Kenya is Islam? Which Islam is this? It's not the Islam that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought, let me assure you. If that was the case, then we should have seen these kinds of incidents in the Seerah also. We should have seen incidents in the Seerah where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood and watched the slaughter of people, and he allowed the slaughter of people. He never did that. So how can people who claim to be working in the name of Islam, how can they kill other people, how can they kill innocent people, how can they explode bombs, and how can they do things like this and then claim to be Muslims? How is this possible? And of course, our usual, you know, excuse that this is all of this is being orchestrated and it is the CIA is behind it and the ABC is behind it and the XYZ is behind this and the Jews are behind this and the Mossad is behind this and Israel is behind this. My point is, neither Mossad nor America nor Australia nor anybody came and pulled the trigger, believe me. The trigger is being pulled by a Muslim holding a gun, simple as that. I don't care who comes and tells you what you decide to do at the end of the day is yours. So even if all of these conspiracy theories are true, still at the end of the day, the question remains who pulled the trigger. And that person who pulled the trigger is a Muslim. I want to remind myself and you, this is not the religion of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is some thing which has been created for political purposes, to gain political advantage, and people think they are getting this. I don't know what advantage they are getting, because all they are getting is a bad name globally, and that bad name reflects on all of us, unfortunately. Today, if you look at the Muslims and the state of the Muslims, we are in a far better state, materially speaking, than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were. Far better. I mean, there is no comparison between the condition of the Sahaba in Makkah and Medina and the condition of the Muslims globally today. There is no comparison at all. Far better state. Secondly, our enemies, globally speaking, I am not saying individually, but I am saying globally, generally speaking, our enemies or people who dislike Islam or people who may have anything against Muslims, the level of their antagonism, the level of their enmity is far less than the enmity of the Quraysh against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Far less. The Quraysh were far bigger enemies and far worse enemies than anybody else today. Yet, it was this path of mercy, it was this path of rahmah that gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a victory over the hearts of people without bloodshed, without anything, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him and his followers the people who became the people of authority. How did that happen? That happened by keeping emotions in control. That happened by rational, sensible thought. That happened by following the direction and following the path shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A path of mercy. Very simple question to ask ourselves. How many of us make dua for our non-Muslim neighbors? All of us live in countries where we have neighbors who are not Muslim, right? We have people, we are surrounded by people who are not Muslim. How many of us make dua for those neighbors? Very simple question to ask yourself. How many of us make dua for our non-Muslim friends, non-Muslim colleagues that we work with? How many of us even know the names of our non-Muslim neighbors? May Allah forgive us, we don't even know the names of our Muslim neighbors. For most of us, we pray in the masjid in the same saf, and we don't even know the name of the person praying next to us. This is our reality. Unfortunately, this is our reality. Not even the name. I'm obviously, if you want to do something to somebody, you must know more than the name. Who is this person? Where does he come from? What are his conditions in life? What kind of family circumstances does he or she have? How can I help him? All of this is, but you don't even know the name. So where is the question of knowing anything else? We have to change our ways. We must know the people who live with us. We must be friends with them. We must help them. We must show our mercy. How is having a Muslim as a neighbor, how is it beneficial for that person? This thing that person must see. I want to end with with narrating to you one of the incidents in my life, and many of you sitting here are witness to that. Soon after 2002, the Gujarat genocide, we had a meeting here in Hyderabad where we collected some funds and so on to send as aid to the victims of the Gujarat genocide. And in that meeting, which was in the Zakat Trust, the keynote speaker was Professor Kancha Illaya of Usmania University. I still remember, and I will take this memory to my grave, the man stood there and he said the following words. He said, "You have a book and you had a job, and your job was to bring that book to us. But instead of doing that job, you chose to die inside your homes and you're inside your own mahallas." He said, instead of choosing to die inside your homes and inside your mahallas, if you had said to yourself, "We will take this book and we will die in the villages of the Dalits and the Hindus." He said, if you had done that, if you had taken this book and you had made this niya for yourself, that we will die, if we have to die, we will die with this book in our hand, with this message of Islam, that we will die in the villages of the Hindus and the Dalits, he said, you would not have died and our history would be different. I still remember, you were there. And there were several of us who were there who heard this message from Professor Kancha Illaya. And I tell you, that memory I will take to my grave. This is a slap in the face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, that it has to be a Dalit professor who has to come and teach us this deen. A Dalit professor has to come and teach us what is our duty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open his heart to Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and use him for the work of deen and make him musharraf bil Islam. How many times have we heard this message and we ignore it? We were sent with a message, and we were sent with a methodology of conveying that message, a methodology of mercy, a methodology of kindness, a methodology of being good to everyone around us. I think it is high time that we remind ourselves and we openly and clearly reject anybody who preaches discord, anybody who preaches violence, anybody who preaches enmity against people, no matter who those people are. We have to reject them and openly reject them. I say, sorry, I'm not interested in sitting in this talk. I'm not interested in listening to the lecture. If somebody is saying this in Jummah, walk out of the place. There are many masajids. Go and pray Jummah somewhere else. Anyone who is preaching a message of discord, of division between people, of message of violence, a message of saying some, of doing some harm to anybody, reject that message. Follow the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not preach division. He preached the togetherness of hearts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not preach violence. He preached forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not preach anything negative. He preached positive and he preached mercy. That is the message of Islam, and that is the message that we need to implement in our own lives and to take to the rest of the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our lives with the noor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message, and to take us and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.